Father, we just thank you for what you've done here so far. We thank you, Father God, that you're in total, complete control of each one of our lives. We thank you, Father, that your holy angelic hosts are here to minister to each and every need. And, Father, those who need a healing, I'm asking for a miracle right now, tonight. Those who need to be free from any demonic strongholds, Father God, I'm asking you to break them tonight, right now. Set your captives free, Father. Set your captives free to go forth and minister your word. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to, I'm sorry, my nose is running. We're going to do a quick overview of what God's been doing with us so far. So we need to understand that God has been removing hindrances. Roadblocks have been torn down. These are things that have been done, all right? God has been moving his own into positions of great authority. He is leading and guiding those who are his and moving them forward into the call. This is a day like no other. God has pulled out all the plugs, all that has dammed up the flow of his spirit. God has a plan to reach the nations with the word of the Lord, and right now God is fulfilling his plan. All right? Maybe I should have a handheld phone. I mean, microphone. If my nose is going to run like this. Can I have one? Or do you want to keep it on your in your pocket? I just can't keep doing this all night. I did not invite this in. Am I on? I am on. All right. As long as you can hear me, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I said, God has a plan to reach the nations with the word of the Lord, and right now God is fulfilling his plan. As we keep watch, we will see turmoil in the nations. But God does not want us to be disturbed by this. You have to get that in your spirit. Don't be disturbed by what you see going on around about you. Because in it, God is building a firm foundation on the truth. And it is a truth that shall set men free. All right? Never before has there been a time of such calamity in the earth. Never before have men become so desperate. Have you listened, read where the ISIS people are now killing the women and selling their body parts? Isn't that awful? To buy their stuff that they need to fight. I said, God, why don't you stop this? You know, it's just unreal. God has arranged this to be so because he is drawing the hearts of men unto himself. So I said, never before have men become so desperate. God has arranged this to be so because he is drawing the hearts of men unto himself. This is what we're after tonight. God is tugging at their heartstrings and making himself known to them. There will be no question in their minds that God is the Messiah. He is going to make it very clear to those who have refuted him in the past. In James 1:1-8 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. He's talking to the church. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see why you're going through all this? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally, and without reproach, it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now let's read it in the Message Bible. I, James, am a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Isn't that what happens? So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. So if God is doing something in you, then he's trying to get your faith built up. Quit trying to get God to stop pressing you. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. He'll get his help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers, although that was neat, people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. I like the way the Message Bible says that. That describes the Christians, the house of God, doesn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19, the Message Bible says, be cheerful no matter what. Now, did God, you know, this is where we're recapping what God has done. So are you cheerful no matter what? Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Don't suppress the Spirit. Now, need to, there you go home. Read those scriptures again in the Message Bible if you have it. And let God really do a great work deep inside of you. Get this stuff down in your spirit. We have heard much of the impending judgment of storms ahead. We already know that the fiery trials are to perfect our faith. Instead of taking for granted the goodness of God, we are to grow into a deeper awareness of God's presence in and with us. We have already begun to see great resolve emerging in our lives. Have you not? Trials and testings have only prompted us into praise and prayer because we finally began to understand the purpose for them in our lives. Now, this is all stuff that should have been happening to you, and I hope it has. So I say that again. Trials and testings have only prompted us into praise and prayer because we finally began to understand the purpose for them in our lives. Because of this, we are able to look above the circumstances and see what God is doing in them. Everything I just said, because of this, we are able to look above the circumstances instead of looking at the circumstances and see what God is doing in them. We are no longer destroyed when trials of all sorts come, but we have learned to embrace them, knowing that this is the will of God, and in everything give thanks to our Heavenly Father who is working on our behalf to produce fruit in our lives that will last. We have learned to give thanks when we are going through struggles, knowing that struggles produce patient endurance. Did y'all learn all this? All right. We have finally learned that God is at work behind the scenes. He has been at work giving us the desires of our heart. He has been at work whittling away at the rough edges in our lives. We have learned to be patient when trials hit and understand that with each test, we are developing faith in God. We are no longer impatient, but with patience, look to the outcome. We finally understand that God will never allow more than what we are able to handle. But he will always make a way that we will grow and mature in our faith. In essence, each trial has been a stepping stone to greater faith. Do you agree with all that so far? We have learned not to believe the enemy when he comes like a roaring lion to devour us. We have learned not to back down to his schemes, nor be intimidated by his viciousness. Let's say that one again. We have learned not to believe the enemy when he comes like a roaring lion to devour us. We have learned not to back down to his schemes, nor be intimidated by his viciousness. We finally realize he is unable to make us fall. We finally realize he is unable to make us fall because God has posted his angels around about us and his banner is over us. God has been laying claim on his people, his chosen race. He has been calling his loved ones into intimacy with him in the secret place, in quietness and rest, for it is in this place that we shall find him. Now, have you really gotten there yet? He has been calling his loved ones into intimacy with him in the secret place, in quietness and rest, for it is in this place that we shall find him. This is where you really have to be, right there. For everything else we just said that we learned is out the window. He is moving in on us, and we will have nowhere to turn but to him. You know, God is moving in on us. He's pressing us and pressing us and pressing us. And we're going to have no place to turn but to him. Because God has longed for people who would acknowledge him and make him the Lord of their lives, he allowed turmoil and hardship to bring his people to their knees in repentance. And at this given time, God will accomplish the desire of his heart. I don't know about you, but with me, when God had me go through hardship, I realized, hey, you can be about the most favorite child in his kingdom, and you're still going to go through hardship. That does not make you exempt. That, well, you can't touch it because I belong to God. Well, we'll just see about that. So he goes before the Father. I want her. The Father said, go ahead, you can have her. Just don't kill her. Come on. He's saying that, Satan did that with each one of you. That's the Job experience, remember? God said we were going to go through it. So did you hang on while you was being pressed, tested, and whatever else Satan did? Or did you cave in? You know, only you know the answer to that. Maybe you caved in just a little, but you got back up. We have finally come to the place of understanding that God is calling his children to come to him and lay their heads on his breast and stay there no matter what. No matter what's going your way, you have to go to the Father. Climb up in his lap, lay your head down in his chest, and just let him be God. He'll take care of every circumstance around about you. He knows how to bring those circumstances to fullness. You know, he knows how to complete the work he started. We need to keep our hands out of it. He wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal his heart to us. He wants to give us hope. I just went back and just sat there and thought of all the things God has been doing, even this past week. These are all the things that God has been doing. He still wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal his heart to us. And he wants to give us hope. This is the day of change, great change, and he does not want us to grieve for the past, but to enter into a new hope in him. How many times has God been dealing with us? Quit trying to go to your past. Stay in the future. Don't look to the right, to the left. Don't look behind, but stay in the future. Your past is your past. And I don't care how much you would like to change it. You can't change it. It's done. That's a page that's written, and you can't go back and erase anything. You just can't. We all like to, wouldn't we? But there's just things we can't do, saints. So, you know, if you want to smack yourself in the head, go ahead, smack yourself in the head, but move on. You say, dummy, and then just don't be dummy again. You know, don't do the same thing all over again, right? If we could just learn to do that, I hope you've learned to do that. Because if you can just learn to do that, Satan will never have you cornered ever again. And he knows whether or not you've learned that. He really does. Hey, we're not perfect. We're human beings. And God knows we're going to, he told me, his daughter, I know you're going to make mistakes. But I can bring you through those mistakes. Now, we don't strive to make mistakes every day. We strive for perfection, right? Isn't that the Word of God tells us to do? And so we make a mistake. We think, I don't ever want to do that again. And this is what I want each one of you to do here tonight. Don't ever make the same mistake twice. David only did it once. Then he got it out of his system. He said, I'm done with that now. I'm not going back there again. All right? He wants to give us hope. God is calling us to trust him and to provide for our every need. This you're going. I hope you're getting this in your spirit, because this is what you're going to have to do. God is calling us to trust him and to provide for our every need. God said, when all this junk comes down, he's going to provide for his own. All right, so you've been saving food and doing all the stuff you're supposed to, but a big hurricane comes by and just takes all your food and sails it through the air, and now you have nothing. You're not going to weep and gnash your teeth and pull your hair out. You're going to say, well, God, you said you were going to supply my needs if I stayed close to you. And I've been staying really close to you, Lord, so I'm expecting you to keep me. You can send some bird. I don't care what you send. But you can send anything my way to feed me. Isn't that right? If he sent a raven to say to feed the prophet in the Old Testament, he can send a bird to feed you in the New Testament. Well, we're out of the old, where he can send a bird to feed you now. Why do you think he can't do that? And you know, when he talks about the birds, you know, they don't do anything. They just let us hang out their little bird feeders, you know, and little hummingbirds let you hang out the little sugar water, and they just go along enjoying life. Why can't we do that? Why can't we trust God? If God is calling you to a special thing to do for him, then he is obligated to keep you. Now, when the disciples were with him, they didn't have to do nothing because he kept them. But when he went away, he told them, get your little money bag, get your sword and stuff, because now you're on your own, more or less. Amen? And I was thinking about the prophet in the Old Testament. I thought, you know what, God, even a rich woman made him a special room in her house. And every time he was in town, that's where he went to stay. He didn't have to go worry about a hotel. He didn't have to worry about sleeping on the street. Somebody made him a room that every time he came home, well, came to that town, he had some place to stay. And that's what God wants to happen today. He wants the house of God to take care of his people. You know, when they come into town, they should have some place to stay. Amen? Do we have that mindset? Or we say, well, I wonder where that prophet's at. Are they sleeping in their car tonight? Or wonder where they're at tonight? Think about this. Come on. Well, the pastor needs to put them up. No, the pastor doesn't. Why doesn't the sheep do something? Come on. So I said, God is calling us to trust him and to provide for our every need. Trust him to lift us up and out of despair, up and out of despair. We shouldn't be staying in despair. Do you realize that? So despair might hit you, but you don't have to stay there. He wants to lift you up and out of despair. Many of God's children see no hope. They are saying, I see no reason to live. I keep thinking about, you know, the sign and this and everything and how God put that all together. You know, we are not hopeless, are we? We are hope-filled people who's going to encourage other people and give them hope when they think there is no hope. Do you know how many people out there think there is no hope? Why do they feel like that? Because nobody's ever told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he wants to provide every one of their needs. Nobody's ever lived the conquering life. And so they think they have to live the life they live too. You have to allow people to see you living the fullness of Jesus Christ. They already have a messed up life. They don't need any more mess in their life. They need hope. They need somebody that already has hope who can go and encourage them to come forth. And I keep forgetting to have this. God said, your testimony, don't hate it, because your testimony is what you're going to use to save others. You know, because people come in the house of God thinking, I'm the only one that's messed up. I'm ashamed to talk about what's going on in my life. And then if you have a testimony, and God said, you share your testimony, they said, wow, I didn't know you were in that too. Look what you're doing today. And see, this is what we need to do. We need to let people know, you know, we're not supposed to be ashamed, but we're not supposed to be proud about it, you know, go around there and brag, oh, well, I used to be. No, that's not what that's all about. It's whenever you're ministering to somebody that is as messed up as you used to be, and they have no hope of getting it together, then you tell them, this is my testimony. This is my story. And if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. All right? You have that down now? Yes, God's word tells us that he has a hope and a future for you. God wants us to decide in our heart to live for him. We've already done that, right? All right. He has asked that we be willing to lay down our life for the sake of his gospel. Now, I don't know if we've done that or yet or not. He has asked us that we are willing to lay down our life for the sake of the gospel. These are all things that God called you up front. He gave you anointing to do. You can lay your life down for the gospel. You can work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be bound to this earth. You can go up into the supernatural realm. You can do the heavenly things that God has called us for to do. You can do it because of Jesus Christ and because he's embedded deep within your spirit, man. You can do these things. And see, if you don't know that you can do them, how can you encourage somebody else to do them? How can you encourage somebody else to come forth and live if you don't know how to come forth and live? All right? Where are we at here? And as we lay down our life, we will enter into life. When we give up living for the things the world has to offer, then we are free to let God live through us. When we give up living for the things the world has to offer, and God asked us to do that one night, then we are free to let God live through us. God is asking us to turn our attention to him and gaze up from our troubles and begin to see him high and lifted up. He's high and lifted up. He's not in a grave. He's not in a tomb. He's high and lifted up. When we do this, our mind will come off our negative circumstances and will be renewed with hope. God is still shaking the heavens and the earth, and everything that is not anchored into him will fall away. You have to be anchored tonight because he's still shaking. And, you know, the devil is not going to leave you. Why do you think he's going to leave you? He's not. You know, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And Satan said, I'm not going to either. I'm going to stay right here and torment you. I'm going to cling to you like glue. And I'm going to try to get you back into my kingdom so I can really torment you. Are you understand? They said there's a place in hell just for Christians who backslide. And then Satan really torments those in a special way. So don't ever backslide because you want to go to heaven. Because I don't think you want to live forever and ever being tormented in a special way because you once belonged to God. You see the nations raging, and you know the time is soon when all things will be judged according to his standard of holiness. God's been calling us to be holy like he is holy, right? If you are in Christ, you're a new creation, no longer bound by earthly endeavors. You will rise up and out of the world, but if you are not found in Christ, you will be washed away with a flood. Come on. Watch the nations. We will see nations crumble at the power of God's hand. We will see the desperate bow down before God. The desperate people bow down before God. That's going to happen whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. And wouldn't it be sad if you gave up just as God did all that, and you would see all these heathen running in there being saved, and you've lost out? Is it really worth it? And the tribulation, when it begins, it's going to be awful. And you didn't have to be a partaker of that, but because just at the moment that God was really going to do something great, you decide, well, I've had enough of this. Or you decide, well, I'm going to sin one more time. He hasn't come yet, so I'm going to stick this in here real quick. You know, people think that, you know. God hasn't done anything to me, so I'm just going to do this one time real quick, then I won't do it again. But that might be the one time whenever you shouldn't have done that. All right, we will see the desperate bow down before God, and we will see that God has intervened in a powerful way in the plans of men to disrupt them and to bring nations to the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter what man plans. God is able to disrupt those plans. I'm saying man is you too tonight, all right? Just not the world, but you too. It doesn't matter what you plan for your life. God can come in and disrupt that. Why do you even bother making plans for your life? Think about that. Why not just go to the Father and say, Father, what is it that you're going to do with my life? I'd like to know so I can agree with you and we can get on with the show. You know, instead of you making plans for your life, and then God talked to you one day and said, I never wanted you to do that. So you wasted 2 or 3 years doing your thing. Let's not do that. Let's let God go ahead and tell you what he wants to do with you. This is a new day. It is a new day. a day of redemption when all men will recognize that God has established his throne in the earth. I want you to understand something tonight, guys. God has established his throne in the earth. He is God. Satan is not. And it doesn't, I don't care what it looks like that Satan's doing, God has at last say so. So don't let him tell you, the devil tell you that God is not in control, because he is. I don't care what you see, God is still in control. And a lot of you here sitting here tonight, you can look at your life, let's say what it was a year ago. And if you look back and be honest, you can see where God was working all along. And he was leading, guiding your footsteps at every place you went and did. Unless you're a prideful person and wouldn't allow him to lead you. But if you're really submitted to God, you can look back and see that God has been leading your footsteps. And he allowed things in your life that he wanted in your life to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to bring you to the place of leadership that he wants to place you in. God is getting ready to place a lot of people in their leadership role. And they have to be those who have determined all the stuff we just read. And you've determined in your heart, I am not in any way, shape, or form ever going to allow the enemy to rule my life ever again. You have to be one of those. And he is fulfilling his word through the prophets of old. And that word is that he is making for himself a holy nation, a people of God. And God is saying that he shall indeed have a remnant who will be called by his name. He's already gathering that remnant together. We're already here. The remnant's already here. They're already on the scene. God has already given them their mantles, and God is already using them. All right? Now, if you're one of the remnant, don't you dare backslide. You know, don't. I'm hearing God say, don't switch tracks. Because you're going to be eternally lost if you do. Stay on the track that God has placed you on. God wants us to put our trust in him. And as we do, we will not be affected by what we see going on around us. See, this is where we fail. We do not put our total and complete trust in God. We keep looking at, and I'll tell you, some of our circumstances are bad. I'm not saying they're not. But I have learned, get my eyes off the circumstances, get them on God, be joyful, keep going, because I can't change anything. If I could, I wouldn't be in the circumstance. Isn't that right? So I just let God do what he has to do. I come to the conclusion, God, only you know what it takes to get everybody to the place that you want them to be, that they'll live 100% for you. Whatever it takes, Lord. You do it. I quit saying, oh, don't do this, and oh, don't do that. I've done that so long that people keep staying out there in sin. And now I've learned to say, God, whatever it takes, you do it. I can't walk out your salvation. I can give you the word. I can live the example before you, but I can't walk out your salvation. You can't walk out somebody else's salvation either. So why worry about it? You've given the word. You've lived the life before them. Now it's totally. You can't say, one time God said, daughter, not everybody's going to get saved. I don't care if they're your kids or who they are. Not everybody's going to get saved. Everybody has their own free will. And everybody's going to use that will the way they want to. God won't go against your will. He just won't do that. We said, God, you could do. Yes, he could do. But he's not going to go against anybody's will. This is where we get ourselves in trouble. This is where I used to get myself in trouble. I thought if I begged God long enough, cried, carried on, and told him how much I loved him, no, please, 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 he would change his mind. But he said, no, you can do that all you want. I'm not going to do it. They're making their own choices. But God, no, they're making their own choices. I quit that. I said, God, they're in your hands. They're going to do what they want to do. So it's up to you and them. And God even told me, get out of the picture. Step aside. This is between them and me now. You've done your part. Now the rest is up to them and me. So at that point, you have to vacate the scene. And you have to allow God to work with that person or persons, whatever it happens to be. But don't just have to wring your hands. Oh, they're going to go to hell. You don't know that. You don't know what God's going to let them go through to get their attention. Amen? So let God have it. Just quit thinking you have to have your hands in the pie. God wants us to put our hope in him, and he will give us the desires of our heart. What's your desire? What my children say, then put your hope in him and let him work on them then. We need to know and understand that his ways are high above the ways of man, and that he will make a way where there is no way. Why do you think you can open doors that God's closed? You know? Why do you think you can usurp God's authority? God told me many years ago, daughter, you're not God. You're not me. And I keep telling the body of Christ that you're not God. You know, God is God, and he's going to make all the decisions, whether you like them or not. God is saying, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. He will shelter you under his wing and protect you from the storms that are coming. Now remember that when the storms come, he will shelter you under his wing and protect you from the storms that are coming. He will overshadow you, and you shall know that he is faithful to keep his promises. Stand firm in the hope given you, and do not waver, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, what are you going to do when the stock market falls? Are you going to fall too? Or are you going to trust God to keep you? Come on. God is able to keep you, you know. God is asking us to give glory to him. He wants us to reverence him with a pure heart. He wants us to acknowledge his lordship in the earth. Have you done that? This is what, I don't know if you've done this or not. He wants you to acknowledge his lordship in the earth. The whole earth must magnify the name of the Lord. This is a day, and this is a season of a great homecoming. God is gathering the hearts of men unto himself. Now, everything that I wrote down here is everything that God did during this past week. But then he'd been doing a lot of this work even before this past week. He asked you many, many times to give you his heart. I'm hearing God say he has a redemptive plan set in front of him, and he wants to carry that plan out. But before he can do that, he has to have your whole heart. And I know he's asked you to do this before, but he still doesn't have your whole heart. You're still holding some heart pieces back in reserve. You're going to have to give him everything. How many of you, you know, if you're really hearing God's voice, he's showing you something that's going to tear you apart when it happens. But you can't say, oh, God, don't let that happen. You have to say, God, your will, your way. You might weep for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Let God do what he has to do to get you to the place that he needs you so he can use you. Now, when this influx of lost souls come into the house of God, if you haven't given him your whole heart, the enemy in them is going to pull you backwards. Spirit calls on the spirit. And if you haven't given God, I'm just hearing him say, you have to give him all the heart pieces. If you haven't given him, God, you haven't given God your whole heart, and there's something in there a little dark, one of those heathen that walks through the door with the same darkness is going to draw you out of the will of the Father. Is everybody on the same page here tonight? And what God wants to do tonight is he wants your hearts. 100% your heart. 100%. I know he's asked us before. He said, give me all of you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And some of you come up here and said, you did that. You haven't given him your heart. If he would have, he wouldn't have me do this tonight. He's trying to get you people ready for the greatest influx of lost souls that the church has ever seen. And he doesn't want you to get lost in the middle of them. He wants you to be able to persevere, stand tall and stand firm and stand strong when the enemy comes in the people. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when all those demons congregate? Now, you might have three that congregate, but whenever you have, let's say, 50 or 100 or 1,000 coming in here with demons, but you know what that's going to be like? I don't think you do. Or you would have given God your whole heart already. whatever your weakness is, that's what the enemy's going to send in to push your button. I see a lot of perversion in the house of God. I see a lot of lust in the house of God. And that's all you see in the world. So where are you standing at right now? He can send an awful lot of miniskirts in here. And no tops. You know. He can set a lot of tight jeans in here. Muscles showing everywhere. Talking about men now. Where's your heart? If your whole heart is given to God, that kind of stuff will not affect you in any way, shape, or form. Come on. I want a husband, I want a husband, I want a husband. Well, the devil will send you in a husband. He will destroy you. You have to get that mindset out. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Because the enemy will send you a husband who will destroy you. If that's all you think about. Or the same way, if you want a wife, he'll send one to you that is not of God. And you'll be destroyed. You have to quit thinking of those things. And you have to dedicate your whole heart to God. But I'm lonely. Well, then you don't know God. Because if you know God, you're not lonely. If you know God, there's not a lonely body, a bone in your body. Come on. I need friendship. You don't know God. God will be your friend. Come on. Come on. I was married. My husband would move out with other women. And then he'd come back home. But while he was gone, I was alone 6 months to a year at a time, living in my home. I was never lonely. I never needed friendship. I had God. I wasn't preaching the word at that time, but I had God. I didn't need any. In fact, I didn't want anything else. Right? I liked coming home to an empty house. You and I could do what I had to do, you know, without any disruption. So what's your problem here? Why is it you think you have to have a man or a woman hanging on your arm, leg, or wherever you want them hanging, around your neck, you know? What you should do is get a deep desire for God that way. That you need him more than anything in the world. That you want to be glued to him. Come on. I want this to sink down in your spirits tonight. Because God wants your heart tonight. He's not saying I want you from the crown of your head to your soles to your feet, because then you bypass your heart. He said, tonight I want their heart. Totally and completely. And when you give your heart totally and completely to God, you'll be the happiest person in the world. The things of this world will not faze you. Come on. And God has said, those people who have been harassing you for the last 10, 15 years, because the whole body of Christ has been going through this, God's going to remove them from the scene. You've endured the affliction like a good soldier. You came forth. You're still standing, still smiling, still have the joy of the Lord within inside of you. God said you've passed your tests. And now God's ready to remove those stumbling blocks from before you. But we're not talking about stumbling blocks tonight. We're talking about your heart. You own your heart. Other people don't. Oh, I'm going to go. My heart will break if they leave. No, it won't. That's your mindset. I won't be able to live if they're not in my life. You aren't living with them in your life. Come on. I've got to have them. No, you don't. What you need is God, right? What you need is God. And when you get him in his fullness, you won't want anything else. You'll just be floating along, just having a good time, and all of a sudden God said, there he is. There she is. And you'll say, what? Who? Where? Why? You've already forgotten about it, because all you know is that you just love the Father and you have the Father. Amen? God said you can either float along with him or float along with death, whichever you want to do. Come on. If you float along with him, that means that you just have your mind stayed upon him and all you want is him. But if you're wanting somebody else, then you're floating along in death. And that's what you're going to get. Death. I'm hearing him say, well, warmed over bed. You don't need a warm river bed. You need Jesus Christ of Nazareth in your heart. Amen. Come on. Do you know, because you're looking for friendship, because you're looking for love in all the wrong places, you've gotten yourself bound up. And God wants to unbind you tonight by taking your whole heart.